Y'all may be seated. I want to share something with y'all. On Friday I was working at the house and I was, oh Jesus. I was working at the house and so I was sitting at my dining room table and I was doing some book work stuff and I was listening to Pastor Nancy's Dufresne's bless the Lord. I was listening to Pastor Nancy Dufresne's Holy Ghost meetings from this last week. And as I was listening to her, she invited up this woman, and I didn't catch her name, but she was part of the prayer team at Rhema when Brother Hagin was there. And she worked in the prayer room when Brother Hagin was there. And in that, she, I think she was there for 20 plus years or something, at least 18 years. And Pastor Nancy said it took her a long time to graduate, but she actually worked for Brother Hagin in that prayer room. And she said something that I want to share with y'all. She said that she had been praying in the Spirit, and she was praying in the Spirit just like you would when you start praying in the Spirit casually. And she said she was kind of in that place where she didn't feel like she was breaking through. So she was praying, but it was very, she felt like she wasn't getting anywhere. And the Lord spoke to her and he said, pray like you would if you had already overcome. And we know to do that in English, but he was telling her to do it in the Spirit. And so she began to demonstrate what this was. Oh, Jesus. And immediately she went from the place of just praying in the Spirit. And victory entered her praying in the Spirit. And the moment she started praying like that, I felt the anointing of God hit my dining room. I jumped up and I started celebrating. I immediately texted Jordan and I said, breakthrough's here! Breakthrough's here! I felt it when I walked upstairs before, but I know it. I know that we have breakthrough. I don't have to see it with my natural eyes. I know that it's here. I want to tell you, breakthrough's here. That there have been months of the enemy trying to play little games and play little tactics, and breakthrough is here. That what you have been waiting on, what you have been waiting for, the time has come, breakthrough is here. Amen? And so I just want to give you that today. Expect your breakthrough. Expect your breakthrough. Expect the door of heaven to be open. Expect to hear the things of God. Expect to hear from the throne of God. Expect to know that your deliverance has come. Expect to know that victory is yours. Amen. Now with that, we're going to receive our offering. So please welcome Miss Jessie Wallace.
Amen. Hallelujah. We could have give the offering on that word right there. Praise the Lord. Oh, my goodness. Isn't God so good? His presence, there is, you've heard it in church. There is nothing like the presence of God. But if you've truly ever been in his presence, you will do anything to get back there. It is the most precious, loving, most, there's really not a word to describe it. He's so good. Whew, you weren't kidding. This is wow up here. Praise the Lord. Goodness gracious. Father, we just thank you for this time. God, we thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to get to sow and to give, Lord. I thank you, Father God, that this wouldn't just be offering as usual, God, but there would be an expectancy and charge in the atmosphere of what you're doing, God, in the hearts and the minds of your people. Thank you, Father. I just want to tell Pastor, thank you so much for the opportunity to get to stand behind this holy desk. It's not taken lightly, so I appreciate that. But what an honor to get to receive the offering. Amen. All right. If you have your Bibles, could you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, please? Let me grab my phone real quick. Ari, would you hand me my phone, please? 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We're going to be reading from the Amplified chapter 9. We're going to start at verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. Now remember this, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows generously, the blessings may come to others, will also reap generously and be blessed. Let each one give thoughtfully and with purpose, just as he has decided in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And he delights in the one whose heart is in his gift. And God is able to make all grace, every favor, earthly blessing come in abundance to you, so that you may have always, under all circumstance, regardless of the need, have complete sufficiency in everything, being completely self-sufficient in Him, and have an abundance for every good work and act of charity, as it is written, and forever remains written, He, the benevolent and generous person scattered abroad, He gave to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now he who provides seed to the sower and bread for food will provide and multiply your seed for sowing. That is your resources, and increase the harvest of your righteousness, which shows itself in act of goodness, kindness, and love. You will be enriched in every way so that you may be generous. And this generosity administered through us, producing thanksgiving to God from those who benefit. For the ministry of this service offering is not only supplying the needs of the saints, God's people, but it also overflowing through many expressions of thanksgiving to God. Because of this act of ministry, they will glorify God for your obedience to the gospel of Christ, which you confess, as well as your generous participation in this gift for them and for all the others, all the other believers in need. And they also long for you while they pray on your behalf because of the surpassing measure of God's grace, his undeserved favor, mercy, and blessing, which is revealed in you. Now, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift, which is precious beyond words. Amen. Glory to God. His word is so powerful. It's so powerful. We know that the kingdom of God is like sowing and reaping. We know that several passages talks about sowing and reaping, right? Like the farmer scatters the seed. We see that I've got several scriptures that we're going to go through here in just a moment, but so many of the things that God displayed was seed time and harvest. Amen. Offering is just one of the ways that we get to see that in action. The golden rule. Everybody knows what the golden rule, even people out in the world. If you say, what's the golden rule? They're going to say, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I would say that that is seed time and harvest. Amen. How many in this room are expecting, are in need of a big tractor right now? Amen. May I ask if you have ever been a big tractor sowing and reaping? You see, one day I was talking with the Lord and, oh, thank you, God, the big tractor's on the way. Woo, Lord, I praise you, God, the big tractor's on the way. Big tractor, big tractor, big tractor. And he stopped me and said, Jesse, have you ever been someone's big tractor? And I said, Well, Lord, what do you mean by that? Let's reason together. He arrested my heart. I could tell, I knew exactly what he was saying. You're going to get big tractor when you've sown big tractor. He wanted me to change my perspective. I could still be in expectancy for a big tractor. But I must first sow tractors. Amen. He said, Jesse, stop saying the big tractor's coming and start thanking me. Lord, thank you for making me someone's big tractor. Thank you that I can show up and be obedient to God and I can be the big tractor, God. Lord, thank you for making me the big tractor. Then I started looking for needs to fill. Where is the tractor needed, Lord? Oh, does that field need mowing? Let me find a field because I'm about to mow it down. This is how God changed my perspective on just always needing a big tractor. There's nothing wrong with wanting and needing and expecting a big tractor to come. We should. That's part of the kingdom. We just read that, sowing and reaping. But we should definitely change our perspective on the tractor. Amen. For those of you who don't know the big tractor story, Pastor often tells this story because it's so beautiful. Pastor Deb was trying to mow down this little fielded area. The weeds had gotten taller, and she was out there with a little pushmower. And she, you know, she's sweet little. She's tiny. She's petite. She's cute. And so she was going at it. But a county worker on one of the big tractors saw her, and said, "Ma'am, can you move over?" And just in a couple of swipes, took everything out. What would have cost her time and labor and energy, God did in a few moments. That's the goodness of God. So anytime you hear us talking about the big tractor, this is what we're talking about. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He was trying to set me up, and he was trying to get me to a standard of giving that I was believing for myself. We should have both flowing at all times. We should both be reaping and sowing all of the time. It is a way of life. We must move away from only needing, but expecting. You see, needing is a mindset, but expectancy is also a mindset. When you sow, you must then expect harvest. There's an expectancy with sowing because God is faithful to who he is. He's faithful to his word. Amen? In Luke 6:38, you don't have to turn there. I'll read it to you. It says, "Give and it shall be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over with no space left for more. For with the standard of measurement you use, when you do good to others, it will be measured to you in return." Hallelujah. Thank you for that word, Lord. We are in a place of give and it shall be given, sowing and reaping. What may seem to be a big thing to you may not be big to someone else. It may be just, "Oh, I can do that. Super easy. No problem." But you see, our mindsets sometimes get caught. And it's easy to do with the things of life and our daily routines and needs. But sometimes I think when we get so mindful of our own needs, there's so many others we could just be meeting needs, and you become so focused on meeting others' needs that you've just completely let yours go in the sense of, "Lord, I trust you. I've sown into good ground, so I'm going to let the word do its work, and I'm going to go begin to help meet the needs of others." And this is actually what offering time is. You are sowing into the kingdom, and it meets needs. Amen? Hallelujah. So don't just get caught in our own way of thinking, but constantly be on the watch for whose field you can mow. Make sure you're spirit-led. Galatians 6:8. Let's flip over there real quick. Galatians 6:8. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Actually, I'm going to do Galatians 6:7. "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap." So again, another scripture saying, what you sow, you will reap. Amen? But see, God just didn't stop there. We know that we serve a God of overflow. Amen? So if you sow a tractor, guess what? You're more than likely going to get tractors back. back. Because see, God doesn't, he doesn't just stop at just enough. He's a more than enough God. He doesn't just meet needs. Remember John, was it Simon Peter who was fishing all night and had caught nothing in the natural. And Jesus was teaching and preaching. And I'm sure Simon over there was going, oh yeah, give and it shall be given, whatever. He may not have been doing that, but he had to have been hearing what Jesus was preaching as he was cleaning his nets from the long night. When Jesus was done speaking, he turns to him and says, go and cast your net again. And I can imagine the inward eye roll he probably had of like, Lord, I've given it all. I've done it all. But Lord, at your word, I'll do it. His obedience caused such a blessing that he had to call his friends over. His blessing was so enormous that others were blessed by his blessing. Their boats began to sink. Their nets began to break. That is what happens in obedience. You may have done all that there is to do in the natural. Lord, I've gone to work. I've been faithful. I've paid my tithes. I've done this. I've done that. I've done it all, Lord. But Jesus may give you one direction, one instruction that will shift the tide of it. Can you imagine? I can imagine that day. They probably caught more fish that moment than they had their entire careers as fishermen. No one had ever experienced anything like it. Had they, their boats would have been bigger. Jesus did the miraculous with one act of obedience. Jesus gave the word, but Simon had the choice to obey. Listening for instruction. Listening, spirit-led giving can be the thing that breaks what didn't work in the natural. Jesus is saying, try it again. Go again. Cast your net again. You see, obedience is better than sacrifice. God, and you may be saying, well, Lord, I don't have enough money to sow seed. The Bible tells us that God gives seed to the sower. If you don't have physical money, what can you do with your time? What can you do? We know that the Bible says that sower sows the word. There's your seed. Start there. Start there. Amen? We are blessed to be a blessing. In Genesis, it tells us that Isaac sowed in the land and he reaped 100-fold return. That's a lot of return on his one seed. Now, it doesn't just stop there. It said he waxed great and grew in that land. I believe what Isaac did was he sowed his best seed because he knew his God. He knew his God. God was like, that a boy. Now let's go. He was able to then bless him 100-fold. And in that same year, exceeded. I don't believe Isaac just sowed one and done. I don't. I believe that Isaac sowed, and God just kept showing up blessing after blessing. Amen? The Lord loves a cheerful giver. You protect your seed with thanksgiving and expectancy. Sow your seed cheerfully today and gift wrap it in faith. Amen? Hallelujah. And I want you to expect Ephesians 3:20. I want you to expect 30, 60, 90. Expect the big tractor. But don't forget, you are someone's big tractor. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and receive the offering today. If you are giving online, you can text VCHL and the amount you want to give to 73256. Click the link and complete your gift. Are you blessed today? God is so good. Father, we just thank you for the givers and the tithers of this house, God. We thank you, Lord, that they are so obedient to your word. We thank you that they are cheerful and excited and expectant to give to you today, God. We thank you that you bless their hands and you bless their labor. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So I think that's wonderful that you said that, because I was actually just reading after a Jewish rabbi that is how they are taught to think. They're taught to think. There's a scripture that says there will be no poor among you. And then there is another scripture that says there will always be poor among you. And so he said, well, what is that? He said, because we're never to think of ourselves as poor. That should never be our expectation of who we are, because you're causing yourself to be in a lack mindset when you think of yourself that way. But there will always be those around you who have less than you have. And so you're always to be a blessing to those who have less than you have, while never equating yourself as a place of poor. And so literally just yesterday I went back and re-listened to that exact part. So Holy Ghost, I mean, thank you, Jesus. So today, how many of you think we just have the best pastors? Amen. We have been blessed with the best. I am so thankful for our pastors. I'm so thankful that they are diligent to be in the Word. I'm so thankful that they seek after the things of God. They seek after the presence of God. They seek after truth. They stand up for what's right. They aren't just trying to preach something that draws a crowd. They're preaching the truth of the Word. They're preaching faith. And so they are traveling today in Thackerville, Oklahoma, preaching at Thackerville Community Church. We have a sweet lady, Miss Tina Morgan. I'm sure she'll watch this later. So hi, Miss Tina. I hope you all had a wonderful service. Who tunes in with us almost every single week, and she's from that church. So Patty and I got to go up to Oklahoma with Pastor, I guess in October it was. And she ran up to us, and she's like, hey! We're like, hi, you know, the smile and hi. And she was like, Danny and Patty, right? And we're like, yes, so good to see you. Now we know who you are, but we didn't because she had known us from being online. And so we're so blessed to have her as a part of Victory, even though her home church is there in Thackerville. She is such a joy. We enjoyed getting to meet her that day, and she's such a blessing. But Pastor is up there ministering in their church this morning. And so they've been moving and operating in the things of the Spirit and operating in the miracles of God. And so let's just take a moment. We're going to pray over them. We'll pray over the service, and we'll get into the Word for today. Father, we thank you for Pastor Rox and Pastor Deb. Father, we thank you for the anointing dripping off of them as they are there in that place. We thank you, Lord, that it is abounding within them and abounding out of them, that as they walk in that place, that lives are changed. Father, we thank you for the Word of God going forth unhindered by any outside force, both there and here, in the name of Jesus. And Father, we pray over the hearts of people that they're ready to receive the Word that you have for them today. Father, I thank you that you would think through my mind today. You would speak through my vocal cords today. Father, that you would give me the exact things needed to say for the people in this house today. And I thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So Pastor had been talking about at the end of the last year a message that Pastor Nancy Dufresne gives. And that is talking about being skillful, that God equips us with gifts. He equips us with talents. He gives us anointings. He gives us certain bends in different directions. And that is a gift from God. But it is our part to become skillful with the things that he's given to us. And she mentioned in this that one of the most important things to gain skill in is prayer. And so when she said this, it just, you know, when something just hits your heart, I mean, it hit me, and we have been ministering on this in launch since that time last year. So I think we're about 3 months in. We took a little break for Christmas and some fun cookies and parties and things. But we have been ministering on being skillful in prayer. And it's so important for us to be skillful in prayer because it is the way that we communicate with the Spirit of God. Amen? And so prayer is too often seen as a one-way conversation. It's just us talking to God, and we think that's what prayer is. Have you ever heard someone or had someone say to you, hey, I heard you had talked to so-and-so this week, blah, 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 and you say, well, they talked to me, but I just kind of smiled and nodded. Have you ever been a part of one of those conversations where it's, okay, you want to talk? I'll listen. Too often we do that to God. Too often we just want to talk. Or the person who says, I kneel down by my bed every night and say my prayers. Okay. Do you listen? Is he talking back? Is that it? There's nothing wrong with that. I think it's wonderful to pray before bed. I pray over my girls every night before bed. I pray before I go to bed. But are we listening to God? Prayer is meant to be an intimate conversation with God. Conversation. Dialogue. Two directions. Going from him to you and you to him. We're supposed to be operating back and forth of us hearing what he's saying and then us praying to him. It's not just us listing off everything we need. There is nothing wrong with that. It's an important part for you to be communicating with God and being vulnerable. And if we're just saying what we think he wants us to hear, then we're not being vulnerable and therefore we're not creating intimacy. Intimacy is created with vulnerability. I won't go too far into that because we've got places to go. But I heard this yesterday, and I just really want you to gain this picture when thinking of prayer. Prayer is joining in the symphony of the Trinity. Prayer is joining in the symphony of the Trinity. We were praying in here on a Tuesday a few weeks back, and the Lord was showing us in the garden, Adam and Eve were told to eat not of one tree, right? They were told to not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the Lord began to show us that this tree would offer knowledge, wisdom, and understanding without relationship. So eating of this tree was less about disobedience and more about, God, I want to do it without you. We have an opportunity to be partnered with the Trinity of God. We have an opportunity to partner with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We have been given the Spirit of God, who it says in Isaiah 11 is giving us the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of counsel. He is giving us the spirit that will tell us how to do all things, the teacher of all things, the knower of all things, all that is good. We can work with him or we can figure it out on our own. And so it's so important for us to know the voice of God, to hear the voice of God, and to walk in the voice of God. That's what we're going to talk about today. Knowing the voice of God, hearing the voice of God, and walking in the voice of God. Thank you for it, Lord. The first thing, Pastor has been telling us how important it is for this year us to be a joy-fueled, spirit-led people. In order to do this, we must know the voice of God. So this is number one, know the voice of God. On Wednesday night, Pastor began to teach about the ways that we hear God's voice. She was telling us that you can hear in dreams and visions. You can hear by dark speech. You hear in riddles. You hear in parables. You hear the small, still voice. Sometimes you hear an audible voice. How do we hear the voice of God? She was going through each and every one. If you didn't listen, I encourage you, go back and listen to the things that she taught on, because you will begin to see the way that you can hear the voice of God. I'm not going to break all of that down. We're actually going to jump through that part pretty quickly. But Pastor said this, if you are struggling to know the voice of God, get in the Word of God. I want to say this as well. Spend time with God. When Jordan calls me on the phone, he doesn't have to call from his phone number for me to know it's his voice. He says hello, I know it's him. He doesn't introduce himself every time he calls me. Why? Because I know his voice, because I spend every day with him. Kendall, since she was a little girl, really small, I called her Dolly. Always. Dolly, Dolly, Dolly. We can be in an amusement park with hundreds of people, and I can call her name and she'll turn and look. I don't have to say it loudly even. I don't have to say it above all. I've done it in a Walmart. I've done it in an HEB. I've done it in crowds of people. And the only time she doesn't respond is when she chooses not to. You see, when we know the voice of God, the only time we're not responding is when we're choosing to not listen. We know his voice by spending time with him. We know his voice by answering when he calls us. It is so important when the presence of God shows up for you to honor that presence and say, Lord, I'm listening. Lord, I hear you. Lord, I'm listening for you. Remember, Samuel was told, tell him, here I am, Lord, your servant. Here I am. Acknowledge that you know he wants to talk to you. Acknowledge his presence. This is what's calling in. This is your faith operating. Your mouth is what's calling your faith to operate. Amen? So it is important that we know his voice, we hear his voice, and we walk in his voice. So this is really where we're going to spend a lot of time, and that's hear his voice. We must hear his voice. There is a scripture that for weeks has kept coming up to me. And it's in Proverbs chapter 13. So that right there gives me the timestamp. It was January 13th because I was reading through Proverbs one a day. And when I read this scripture, it immediately struck me. But he began to minister some things that were far deeper than what I had originally seen. And it's verse 23. It says, much food is in the fallow ground of the poor, and for lack of justice, there is waste. Much food is in the fallow ground of the poor, and for lack of justice, there is waste. So much food, the scripture tells us that our food should be the word of God. The word of God was created. His voice, it specifically says, his word, his spoken word should be our food. The word fallow ground means uncultivated. The uncultivated ground of the poor has much food. Everything that you're looking for is in the ground. The word poor is talking about, it actually says one who is impoverished himself, self-made poor. So that means it's because of something that we're not doing that is causing us to be in the position of lacking or causing us to be in the position of not having enough with what we need. I know everyone really likes to hear that, right? The truth is, religion likes to say that God did it because they don't have to take responsibility. Just leave that right there. It then says, for lack of justice, there's waste. So I'm going to give you the Danny interpretation. I haven't published this yet, but it's coming. No, it's not coming. That's actually not true. That I know of, that it's not. But this was my interpretation. There is much food in the uncultivated ground of the poor, the one who is impoverishing himself, who is in need. For there is a lack of execution in decision making, in not cultivating the potential that has been made available to them. And therefore it is destroyed, wasted, and snatched away. So there is much that's been made available to you in the Word of God. There's much that's been made available to you in the promises of God. There's much that's been made available to you to have success in your life. But it is up to our decision making. It's up to the execution of what we're doing. And we have a part to play. You see, it's so important. Revelation 3, we read that earlier in the prayer. Revelation 3 says, I am seeking and knocking. Will you come answer?
Will you come? If you come, the door is open to the things of heaven and I'll show you much. Will you come and be a part? Are you going to cultivate the ground? Are you going to make a place for this field to grow? Are you going to set yourself up for success so that you can have the harvest that I've made available for you? The ground of your heart has the sustenance for you to produce much in your life. It has the ability to have the blessing working in every way, in every area. But it must be cultivated. When we are experiencing a lacking area in our life, it is because it is uncultivated. It's because we haven't taken the time to tend to the land. We haven't taken the time to go into that place. The second half of the scripture says, for lack of execution and decision making to cultivate our ground leaves our potential to be wasted and destroyed. We don't want to waste. We don't want to get to heaven and God says, you could have had all of this. Because that's what our place of judgment is. It's not you're bad, you know you're bad, you're going to be whipped because you're bad. It's, I wrote this book. You could have fulfilled all of this in your life. Will you? Right? Will you? Will you do the things God's called you to do? Will you be the person God's called you to be? Will you step into the things that He's made available for you? God's plan is so much better than our plan. We might not even understand the capability of what we're able to do. Look at Moses. Moses was like, whoa, I can't do that. I can't even talk without stuttering. No, you can. All you have to do is say yes. And as you say yes, every qualification will show up. So when I looked up the word uncultivated in the Webster 1828 dictionary, which is my favorite, because it has a lot more biblical understanding than Webster 2024 or 2025. We're in 25. You know, this year. It says, not instructed. Also means not prepared. Not made ready for planting and receiving, but not instructed. What does that mean? That we're not hearing for His voice of what to do. We are not tapping into the ground that God has for us because we're not listening for the instruction He has for us. We must know His voice. We must hear His voice. We must walk in His voice. So we must, therefore, have our ground right and cultivate to be able to receive. We went to the ministers' conference last week. Yes. 2 weeks? 2 weeks ago. Some days then. We went to the ministers' conference, and Dr. Mark Barclay was ministering. Dr. Mark was a Marine, and he is a wonderful teacher of God. He is from Michigan. Whoop, whoop. He is from the other side of the mitten, than where I'm from. And he's from a place called Midland, Michigan. And he was up ministering, and he was ministering about hearing on the voice of God. And he told this story. So he's up. Then Brother Copeland gets up, and he goes and starts ministering with him about hearing the voice of God. And then Miss Carolyn Savelle comes up and starts ministering on hearing about the voice of God. And then he calls up Dan Stratton, who we're going to talk about in a little bit, but he's the guy who lives in New York, if you don't know who Dan Stratton is. We're going to talk about him before we end here, who began ministering about hearing the voice of the Lord. And then Miss Billy gets up and starts talking about hearing the voice of the Lord. And on that day is when she said, it's amplification day. And when I was writing it in my notes, the Lord said to me, today is Victory Church's amplification day. Today is the day where we hear better than ever before. Today we brought that anointing back with us. We received it there in that meeting. We brought it back and we are having amplification day. And so Miss Billy began ministering on something that Pastor told us just recently. She began talking about the word heart. And the word heart, which is our receiving ground, our heart is our receiving ground. Say, my heart is my receiving ground. That is where you hear with your ear of the Spirit. That is where you hear with the ear. Okay? It's all in there. See? Heart, hear, ear. Look at God. And so she begins ministering on how important it is to hear with the ear of your heart, to receive the things of God in this place. And so Mark says, okay, just one more thing before I go sit down. I have to tell this. You don't even know it, but you saved my life. I just have to tell you this before I sat down. And he said, it was a couple months back, I believe. Don't quote me on time frame. It was a couple months back, and I heard him say, you need to go to the heart hospital. Go to the heart hospital right now. And he was like, okay. And so he was like, you need to get up and you need to go right now to the heart hospital. And Dr. Barclay's like, okay, so normally he would think, okay, well, I need to go pray for someone. I need to go minister to someone. And he goes, all of a sudden I got this instinct that it was for me. And so I was like, Lord, I feel great. Why do I need to go to the heart hospital? I feel wonderful. I have no symptoms. There's no signs. And he goes, and then you know how the Lord does sometimes. He'll tell you, and then he will tell you. Yeah, that is the mercy of God. And when he tells you, time is short and you better obey quickly. And so he said, he told me, and I went to the hospital. And when I walked in, he said, I told the doctor what had happened. And he said, well, what are your symptoms? He said, I don't have any. And he took his vitals, and he said, your vitals are good. But if your God told you to come here, don't you think we should probably check you out? And so he went in and he was checked out. Dr. Mark Barclay had what was called the widowmaker about to happen. And what happens is when that happens, your arterial wall blows out and there is no way they can repair it in the field. There is nothing that can be done at the home because it's too quick for them to be able to stop that from happening. He was able to go in, have surgery immediately, be repaired. I believe he said he coded for a minute and then came back to life, restored, totally healed, totally whole, looks better than I've ever seen him look in all of these 10 years we've been going up there. Like, that man is fit, he's trim. Older, of course, that's what happens with time. But he is fit, he's trim, he's moving. Why? Because he knew the voice of the Lord, he heard the voice of the Lord, and he walked in the voice of the Lord. He followed after what didn't seem normal in the natural, what didn't seem to have any symptoms, what didn't seem to be alluded to in any way that naturally would make sense. But he knew that voice, he heard it, and he followed after it. I want to be that keen to the voice of God that I don't allow my natural reason. I don't allow the natural reason that would be clouding the judgment of my heart to hear the voice of God and follow after it. So we're going to talk about cultivating the ground of our heart for the next little bit here. And we all know I can talk quick if I need to. So don't get in a rush. Don't get in a hurry. Everything's going to be okay. Okay. So cultivating, to till, to prepare, to get the ground ready, to improve by labor or study, to advance the growth of, to cherish, to foster, to promote, and increase. That's what we're looking to do with our heart today. So we're going to talk 6 steps to cultivating the ground of our heart. Ready? Number one, get rid of obstructions. It's time to clear out the weeds of old thought patterns, of unworthiness, of worry, of fear, of natural reasoning. Clear it all out. The best picture I have for you of this is the shack. How many of you in here have seen the shack? All right, well, at least 5 of us. I think there's about 10. Can I get one? Can I get 2? Glory to God. So the shack, you remember the Holy Spirit, the sweet lady with the wispy voice, takes him into the garden. And in the place of the garden, it looks crazy in there, right? It looks like when John has to go out sometimes after winter and work in the garden. It's weedy out there. There's weeds growing everywhere. They're overturned. They're all over the place. And she begins to start working with him and pulling out a couple of places, pulling out a couple of places, pulling out a couple of places. And it feels like they're working for a while, and then there's a small place. By the end, it goes back, and it shows this garden of his heart, and it's beautiful, landscaped, manicured, wonderful looking. You see, God wants to work with you in your heart. He wants to work with you to move through these things. That's why it's so important for us to move in these places with the Spirit of God. The Lord told me not too long ago that too much self-introspection will lead to destruction. We are not to do self-introspection without the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost is who can lead you through and guide you to the places that you need to go. And too often, we're chasing after symptoms and we're never getting to the root, and therefore, we're not going to have breakthrough. If you do not get to the root of the problem, you will not get breakthrough. So when you are weeding out the obstructions in your heart, when you're weeding out the things in the garden of your heart, you need to make sure you're operating with the Holy Ghost. Also, too often, when we get into self-introspection, we get a cramp in our neck because we're too busy navel-gazing and we can't figure out how to walk straight anymore. Do it with the Holy Ghost. Get in it with the Holy Ghost. Amen? We have to know that He's the one who's made us worthy. We have to know that He is faithful. If you cannot get anything else out of all I said today, know that God is faithful to His word. He is faithful to His word. If you do not have on the inside of you that He will do what He says He will do in His word, you're going to have a hard time meeting success. You have to know that He's faithful. It's like if you were to turn on your AC unit and open your door wide open in the middle of a Texas summer. You are way overworking that thing. Your motor's going to burn up. That little capacitor thing. That, you know what I'm talking about. It's my divine example of, if you need mechanic help, I'm not your girl. You need to put it in, take it out, you know, all those kind of things. I got a general idea, but probably don't want to hire me. But we have to work with the Holy Ghost and close the door. Close the door and let the things work the way they're supposed to work. Get those obstructions out. They choke the word. They choke what He's telling you. So number one is get rid of obstructions. Number two, determine the depth to begin tilling. Different seeds determine different needs. Evaluate where you are and how much deeper you must go. It's important for us to get into those places, to get with God, to remove those instructions, but that's also the place that tells you where you need to go. If you're planting a little tiny flower, it doesn't take a whole lot of room. If you're planting a squash plant, you need a little more room. If you're planting a tree, you need a whole lot of more room. Why? Because specific seeds have different needs. Also, if your ground has been hard in an area, if there's been hurt, if there's been a series of unbelief, if there has been something that's caused your ground to be hard, you need to know how to move and work in order to get to the level you need to get to. You can't just jump in after something and say, I'm going all in. Anybody ever tried to jump into some cement? No. Why? Because it's hard. And you have to go little by little to get down into there. When there's hard ground, you have to go little by little. If something's been planted there before and it's just a little overgrown, the soil's softer. It's easier to go back and dig that up. So you might be able to get a little more done a little faster. But if there's never been anything planted there, say you never believed in prosperity. You vowed to poverty that you would have to live in poverty all of your days. And now you're like, oh, prosperity message. Now, the Lord can supernaturally go into a place, which we're going to talk to in just a second, that'll immediately tear all of that up and work it all out. But you need to begin working. Okay, Lord, I trust you. I'm going to tithe. Okay, Lord, I hear your voice. I'm going to give this much. Okay, Lord, I hear you. I'm going to give this much. And then begin moving and working with him, digging deeper into those places. Excuse me. But get in the spirit and move with him. Everything I tell you today is so important that we begin knowing his voice, spending time with his voice. Because we want him to lead us. We want him to guide us into the place we're going. Which is number three, let the tiller do the work. Let the Spirit of God do the work. The Lord, that's what I told you earlier. We are to examine where we are at, and we are to know the condition of our ground, but we do it with the helper, the teacher, and the guide. Jordan and I went with Jesse and Larry a couple of months back, and we went out on their land. And there's a whole lot of trails out there, a lot. I guess we went on, you know what I mean. We went out there to the park, the adventure park. And there's all kinds of ways you can go. There's all kinds of ways you can get there. If I were honest and I was trying to figure it out on my own, I'd probably never find where we went. But it was the most beautiful sights when we got there. Why? Because I had a guide who knew exactly where to go, how to get there, what was the safest way to get there, what was the easiest way to get there, what didn't require any detours, it didn't require any reversing, it didn't require going any other directions, it didn't take me all the way to Llano when I was trying to go to San Marcos. He knew where he was going, and he knew how to get there with precision, and he knew how to get there the safest way, the easiest way, the best way to get to the greatest views. You see, when you're working with the Holy Ghost through these things, he's able to get you there in the way that is the easiest, the best, and the most efficient for you. He can get you to the place you're going without requiring you to be laboring and toiling and fighting to get through something that, again, you're working on the symptom and not the root. When we try to figure it out on our own, it is toilsome and hard. If we allow the Holy Spirit to be the tiller, he can get through the hard ground much faster than we can. He knows the depths to take, how quickly to go deeper, how quickly to move in one direction, how to know when you're passing to the left and right and then going forward and backward. He can know when to change directions. He can know what areas to hit. He can know which places are the hardest. He can know exactly how to get you to where you're going when you let him do the work. Our part is to say what he says to say, to do what he says to do. And sometimes we may need to take several passes over the same place. Sometimes we need to hit the ground more than once with the tiller. And I want to tell you this. The Spirit of God operates in such a way that it goes like this. It's like an upward spiral. So if you are walking through something you've walked through before, I believe this is for somebody today. If you're walking through something that you've walked through before, be mindful that it doesn't mean you're not on another level. That you're not in a different place coming from a different way. All right, number four, add amendments and nutrients to help the ground get to the place it needs to go. So we are going to add things into our heart that are going to help us to the place. What is that? The Word of God. We're going to add the Word, add scriptures. Again, this came out on Wednesday when we were ministering in launch. It came out on Thursday when we were ministering prayer. Use the Spirit of God for the Bible. Don't read the Bible without being influenced by the Spirit. Hear what He is leading you to. It is just a book of words if you are not listening for the fresh voice of God. Partner with Him to go into that place. What nutrients do you need to add? Because different soil requires different nutrients. I learned that there are six types of soil. They all require something different in order to be eligible for planting or to be able to be planted in. Some of them are much better than others, but the Holy Ghost is able to lead you into the places of the required nutrients of what you need to grow the thing He's called you to harvest. Can I tell you this? If He's called you to harvest something, if He's called something forth in your life, you have the soil necessary to bring that thing to pass. It's not your job to figure out if you have it right or not. You have it. What He's called you for, you have it. What you're called to do, you have it. Who you're called to be, you have it. The thing that you need to make it come to pass, you have it. How do I know? Because it would not be right. He is a just and a right God, and He would not call you to something that you weren't capable of doing. He will provide all you need, whether you think it's in your comfort zone or not. He will make sure it's taken care of. Amen? So let Holy Spirit lead you to be equipped with the scriptures that are applicable. I still failed at that. Let's try one more time. That are applicable to get this ground ready to receive the seed of His word. We hear from God to receive just what we need. Amen. Number five, give the nutrients time to work. I think this is a place that is way too often overlooked by the body of Christ. Meditation is so necessary. I'm not talking about emptying your mind and humdumming. I'm talking about removing distractions from your mind and filling yourself with the Word of God. Do you know that the Jewish people, they actually pray prayers for this very purpose? Removing the distractions from their mind and specifically shoring up on what God's saying. We need to shore up on the Word of God. Move it over. It's almost like a, let me see if I can find that place real quick. It says, in Hebrew thought, to meditate upon the scriptures is to quietly repeat them in a soft droning sound while utterly abandoning outside distractions. They're reciting text, praying intense prayers, or getting lost in communion with God. That's what meditating is, getting lost in communion with God. Talking to Him about what He's saying to you, meditating on His word, hearing His word, letting those things churn over and over again. Anyone in here ever stayed up all night worrying about something? All right, well, there's a few of us who are honest. Great, then you know how to meditate. See, the problem is you're meditating on the wrong thing. You're meditating on what the enemy can do. If you were to flip that around
and find out what the word says, what the promise is, and you stay up, try to stay up all night thinking about that, the enemy's going to let you go to sleep real quick. You having trouble sleeping at night? Start meditating on the promises of God. Start repeating them. Start reminding the enemy of his end. I promise you, he ain't going to fight you to sleep anymore. He's kind of a pride fella. And when he knows you've won, he don't want to play anymore. Guess what? We win. We win. The enemy was trying to run his mouth. And I told Jordan, I'm just not participating. I'm not going there. I'm not doing it. I fell for that too many times. I refuse to be a part of that. So he can go talk by himself over there, but he's going to be having a one-way conversation with himself. I'm not participating. Get yourself to that place. I'm not participating. You want to act a fool? I'm not participating. Not me. We need to know that sometimes the word of God is like supplements. You ever started some new supplements and it takes a couple weeks to get them to work? Things need to move and to work into your body. They need to start moving and working into you. Charles Capps talks about eating the word and it becoming your flesh. See that word working on the inside of you. Visualize those things. Don't just let it be something far out here. Visualize the word in your body, working in your body. See it moving through you. See yourself as becoming, the word became flesh. It was talking about Jesus, but let the word become flesh on the inside of you. See it creating this in you. See it creating your very being. Visualize it moving through you. Amen. That's part of meditating, getting it on the inside of you. So let the word work in you and let it become one with your flesh. Number 6, set the tiller to a deeper setting and make the final passes across the soil. Get deeper in the things of God. Begin expanding your time, intimacy, and vulnerability with the Spirit of God. You will walk in the Spirit to the degree you talk to the Spirit and talk in the Spirit. You want to walk deeper in the things of God? Talk to Him more. Be purposeful to listen to Him more. Be purposeful to hear from Him more. You know when He really loves to talk to you? When you're doing the things you love. That's when He really wants to talk to you. He wants to be a part of it. I'll never forget. We were on vacation in Pensacola. We had actually had to flip around our vacation. It was 2019, and we were going to Disney World, and there was a hurricane coming. And that was when I was like, devil, you can be talking to yourself. I'm going to Disney World, okay? It's going to happen. I'm going to Florida, and you're not stopping me. So I don't care what you say kind of weather's happening out there. We're going. I have authority over that storm. It will shut up and sit down. But we did have to switch so that we went to Disney first and then went to Pensacola second. And so I got out there on that balcony. I had been waiting. I am a beach girl through and through, people. Like, there is nothing like being there with my cup of coffee, my Bible, looking at the ocean. Anybody want to get me a size gift? That's the size I wear. A Bible, a cup of coffee, looking at the ocean. Any hotel, well, preferably one without roaches, but, you know, if it has a balcony, I guess I could sleep out there. I don't know. But, so I'm sitting out here looking and I just feel this excitement. Like, I know the Lord is going to meet me on this balcony. He's going to meet me on this balcony. I can't wait. And so I get out there, I open my Bible and I'm waiting. Like, okay, Lord. Okay, Lord. And I said, I've been waiting for this moment. And He said, I have to. And so I'm listening, and He said, I just wanted to be with you while you are doing what you love. I just wanted to be with you. That was the moment. I just want to be with you. He wants to be with you. He wants to be in that place. He wants to go deeper with you. You remember when you first got into the things of the Spirit and you would continue to ladle down deeper to see what more is in there? Can I tell you, you are in a place right now where there's still more. There's still more for you to know. There's still more for you to have. There's still a deeper place. There's still new languages to learn. There's still new rooms to see. There's still greater things for you to have. You were called a child of light so you could experience the light. If darkness has been creeping into your life, remember who you are and dig deeper into the realms that God has made available to you. Don't become content with where you're at. Just because you can pray in the Holy Ghost, don't become content with just being able to do it. Just because you get a little tingly feeling every now and then, don't be content with that. We're called to be people who pass beyond the veil. We're called to be children who are with Him right now and Him with us right now. That means that we are not just seeing the natural realm. We're not just seeing these four walls. The Lord has been ministering to me for over a week now about when we hear His voice, we turn to see what it is that He wants to show us. It is a call for an encounter. He wants to encounter you. And that's why the last thing is to walk in His voice. Not just walk with His voice. Not just hearing, walking parallel to it. Walk in it. Him in you and you in Him. Moving as His voice in the earth. Moving as one with Him in the earth. That you would be united together, operating as the body of Christ. A body and a head don't walk next to each other. They don't walk apart from one another. They don't separate themselves from one another. He didn't call you to just be a distant relationship. It's not someone you just call on the phone and talk to and there's no intimacy. No, He wants to be with you, operating with you, moving with you, taking you deeper. That's what Spirit-led life is. That we wouldn't be okay with just experiencing His presence on Sunday morning. Every day, wherever we walk, we would see ourselves wall to wall inside God. That we would know that as we're walking, He's walking. He is in me and I am in Him. When you're seeing Danny, you're seeing Jesus. Unless you see anything bad, then that's not Jesus, that's Danny. Everything good in me is from Him. Everything good in me. Everything good in you is from Him. That we would linger with Him a little bit longer. That we would stay just a little bit longer to walk in His voice. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. When we honor His voice, the scripture tells us that that's when we receive more. Have you ever had a conversation with someone and then they looked and said, "What'd you say?" Don't do that to God. Be listening. Be sensitive. It says in Mark 4:24, "Take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And to you who hear, more will be given." Increase. You want to go to that higher place? The higher, deeper place?
hear. Hear and respond. I want to just finish here with I want to say this first. We must be more sensitive in this time than ever before. You see, the enemy would love nothing more than when you're walking in victory to come and catch you when you're off your game. Too often, when victory's high, we put our weapon down. Because when we're in the middle of pressure, when we're in the middle of fight, we're quick to pray every day. We're quick to say what's true every day. We're quick to say what belongs to us every day. And when things get good, sometimes we get lax. Don't do that. Don't do that. There's a lot that's looking really good right now. Don't put your weapon down. It is a more vital time than ever to be equipped to know his voice, to hear his voice, and to walk in it. I want to finish with two stories. And Launch, you get to hear them again. There is a pastor who's in New York that I referenced earlier, Dan Stratton. In 1993, he wasn't yet a pastor. He was working in a building in downtown New York. And as he was working, he was about to leave on vacation with his wife. And the Lord spoke to him and said, go home and pack with your wife. He said, Lord, I hate packing. I'm going to go to the office. A little bit goes by and he said, go home and pack with your wife. He said, Lord, I hate packing. I'm going to get some things done in the office. And like the Lord does, by his mercy, he said, go home and pack with your wife. And so, you know, when things get that loud, if you know the voice of God, you know. So he goes home to go pack with his wife. About the time he would have been leaving his office, walking down to the parking lot, a bomb struck that parking lot. And he would have been dead. It was after this time that the Lord began speaking to him about hearing the voice of God. He then heard that he was to leave this 7 to 8 figure job to go be a pastor in New York City. And the ground that he would be reaching were those that were at where the World Trade Center is, now known as Ground Zero. He was to go minister to these people. These were the people that he was to reach. He ended up building a church in that area, and it wasn't that long before 2001 that the Lord told him, you need to begin teaching your people how to hear the voice of God. You need to be teaching your people how to hear when I'm speaking to them, that they're able to walk in my voice, to do the things after my voice. And so he gives testimony after testimony about the people who had come from his church, not one from his church. Remember, his ground that he was ministering to was the World Trade Centers. Not one from his church was in the building the day it collapsed. Not one. He had a man who said he heard God tell him, go to the convenience store, get a donut, and get a coffee. And the guy thought, I don't even really like donuts. And he said, go to the convenience store, pull off on this exit, go to the convenience store, get a donut and get a cup of coffee. And one of the ministers up there said, man, I wish God would tell me to go get a donut. He ain't never told me to go get a donut. It's true. He hasn't told me to get one either. My flesh has told me to get a lot of donuts. A lot. But He said, as he stood in that convenience store getting his donut and his coffee, he looked up to the TV and watched one of the planes go into the office where he would have been. There was another man who said that his daughter convinced him to go get a Subway sandwich that morning. Pastor referenced that Wednesday night. He was not in the building. There were those that were told, go and run. And they ran into the Subway place. Subway-like. That's on camera. You're welcome. Did God speak to every person in that building that day? He tried to.
He tried to speak to every single person that was in the building that day. Too often, we don't trust because we don't see symptoms and we don't see the natural reason, and we allow our crowded heart, our uncultivated ground, to dictate our actions. That's why I compel you today. Get your ground cultivated. Know the voice of God. Hear the voice of God. Walk in the voice of God. That same voice isn't just to keep you from trouble. It'll also lead you into the best meetings of your life. It'll have you meet the greatest people you've ever met. It'll send you into places that you never thought you could be, ministering to people you never thought you could minister to, meeting people, meeting the love of your life, meeting the person who you're called to spend the rest of your life with, meeting your best friends by following after his voice. So I just encourage you today, know the voice of God, know his voice, hear his voice, walk in his voice. Amen. Father, I thank you that today is amplification day. I thank you, Lord, that just like you said earlier, you're putting keys in the hearts of people and you're turning up the volume, that they're able to hear today in a way that better than ever before. I thank you, Lord, that they're receiving today on a higher level than ever before. Yes, Lord. I just want to take a moment right now, and if you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you can't hear the voice because you haven't received him as your Lord and Savior, or if maybe you've been running from the voice of God, maybe you've been trying to tune it out the best way that you know how, and he says, I'm talking to you. Then right now, I just want to take a moment, and you don't have to do it all on your own. We'll all pray with you. Repeat this prayer after me. Jesus, I believe that you died and rose again on the third day. I ask that you would come into my heart, be the Lord of my life, lead me, guide me, speak to me. I repent of all that I've did to put myself against you. I receive your forgiveness, and from this day forward, I will follow after your voice. I thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, I thank you that today we hear in a greater way than ever before. I thank you for the amplification of your voice, the intensity and the increase of your spirit, that we walk in it in a greater way than ever before. God loves you. We love you. Stay in victory. All right, if that is the first time you've ever received Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you want some instruction or some guidance on that, please feel free to come to the front after service. You can see myself. You can see my husband, Jordan. You can see Pastor Hector. And we'd be more than happy to give you some instruction, information of where to go on from here, because we all know it is important to be born again and to be saved, but it is also important to be discipled in the things of God and to know how to walk further and move forward in the things of God. And I just want to encourage you, Victory Church, that we are people that it's so important for us to know these things, because we're called to grow people from milk to meat. We're called to grow people up to the next level. And can I tell you that shepherds don't have sheep. Sheep have sheep. And so it's important that we are equipped to help those in the body. Amen. Father, I thank you for your word. I'm just lingering for just a minute if there's anything else he wants to say. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Art Senior, I heard the Lord say, change is coming. Change is coming. It's coming in a big way. It's coming in a really big way. I thank you, Lord, for the change that's coming in a very big way. In a very big way. I thank you, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. I almost see, not ministry like you're going to go off and start, but the way that you minister according to the call of God on your life. Not in a fivefold pastoral way, but in a way of ministering to people in the field you've been called to minister to in a great way in Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Turning point. There's a turning point. There's a turning point. You're about to make it. It's a big turning point. Things are about to change. A big turning point where things are about to change in a supernatural way. There's things that you have been speaking to, people that you have been ministering to, that are having great heart changes in these times. There's words that you didn't even realize lodged on the inside of them, that they are seeing fruit sprout up right now in this time. They're coming up right now in this time. I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for a great field of harvest. A great field of harvest. A great field of harvest. Planted seeds that you thought had died. They're not dead. They're waiting for now. They're harvesting now. They're harvesting now in Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. Amanda, I looked at you and I just heard glory, 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 glory in your midst. Glory in your midst. There's great glory in your midst. Like a cloud, like an atmospheric cloud surrounding you. We thank you for it, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Salvador, there's something that you've been working on that it's been like hammer and nail speed. It's about to go to a nail gun. It's about to speed up double time, double time, double time for the things that's been taking a long time. It's moving to double time. Damien, I heard the Lord say that you're about to have a heart change about some things. You've had your mind set. You've had your mind in a way that you were like, I will never move from this. You're about to move from it. You're about to have a great heart change where things are moving quickly, and you're about to see something. And God says, I got it. I got it. I got it. I got it. I'll walk you through it. It's going to be okay. You've trusted in that way, but I've got it. I'll walk you through into the new way. Thank you for it, Lord. Whew. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the quickenings in the body right now in the name of Jesus. The quickenings in the body. Someone right here, I call for the quickening in the body in the name of Jesus. I thank you for that, Lord, the light and life of the Zoe life of God. Quickenings in their body. A rejuvenation in their bodies. Rejuvenation in their bodies in Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Campbell, I heard the Lord say, have your expectancy up. It's time to turn your expectancy up. You've allowed your dreams to kind of almost subside, but have your expectancy up, because the thing that you thought was too great is not even big enough. Have your expectancy up. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Thank you, Lord. 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 Ron, will you stand up? Will you turn around? Keep going. There's a great turnaround in your ministry right now. And it's going to be that easy. That you stand up, you follow the instruction, and breakthrough happens. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. You may all stand up. Father, we thank you that we are the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. Blessing is overtaking us today. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. Everything we put our hand to do prospers. And Father dear, as we go out of here, we thank you that we are no longer victims, but victors. In Jesus' name, amen.